Welcome to the Off the Charts podcast. I'm Matt Manicharian, former NFL scout and currently of Sports Info Solutions, here today to take you on a special tour around SIS with some of the people inside the building here in Copley, Pennsylvania, that make Sports Info Solutions go. So we will go through over the course of today, we will talk to Dan Forenbach. He is our leader in our football operation. He is our football operations coordinator. He is our senior analyst in terms of football operations, and he can tell us about what it was like to be here back from the baseball days when it was a baseball-only company to how we got into football and where we're going in the future with the football video scout position and all the different charting that we're doing here. From there, we'll take things around. We'll talk to Corey March. He is our business development analyst, and he is the man who is in charge of all of the business operations that go on here at Sports Info Solutions, as well as being a resident fantasy expert. And then finally, we will close out the day with Bryce Rossler. Bryce was a football video scout over the last season, and beginning this year, he has transferred over to our research side. So he is a research analyst, and he's been doing a phenomenal job over there. So we will talk to all three of these guys today. And first up is my right-hand man himself, Dan Forenbach. Dan, what is up?
How's it going, Matt?
All right, so I wanted to have you on because I wanted to talk. Everything starts with you. You're the boss of the most people at SIS. All of the football video scouts, all of our operations department on the football side, they're all reporting up through you. What is your role here at SIS, and what does our football operations department do?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, I am the football operations coordinator here at Sports Info Solutions. I manage all the incoming football video scouts, as well as hire all the incoming football video scouts. And essentially, my job here is to overlook all the data collection and ensure that we're collecting the most accurate data to provide to our clients. Some other things that take place here in the office are we create reports that are used in-house to ensure that the data is accurate. We coordinate different events outside the office, so the video scouts will have a good time and enjoy their period here in Copley, Pennsylvania. I'm basically the guy who everyone goes to if they have issues about the job, if they have issues about football data, whatever they want to do, I'm the guy to go to here.
Yeah, you are definitely the man as far as just about everything goes here with the position. One thing that you mentioned was our recruiting process, which I actually love because when we built that together a few years ago, we really built that the same way that we built our scouting system when we look at draft picks. So the same way we have for the football rookie handbook, we have all our different evaluations and different traits that we grade these guys on. We do the same thing when we get hundreds of applicants every year for the football video scout position. We grade them on their various traits. Chippy Williams, one of our former scouts, he was instrumental in creating our grading scale for the scouts. And then we make sure that as we grade them on all the different traits, that what I call a 7 is what Dan calls a 7 is what anybody in our department will call a 7. And then we go through the process. We build the big board. And that's always, you know, it's always kind of heartbreaking decisions when we're getting down to the wire, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So you were here long before I came onto SIS. I joined in 2016, almost 3 years ago now. But you were here long before that. In fact, you were here before they even got into football, back when it was just a baseball company. So what was that decision like from where you were to expand into football, and kind of how did that all happen?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was a baseball video scout here in the summer of 2014. That's when I started at the company. And from being a baseball video scout to where I am now, all there was here at the company was baseball. No one discussed football. All people discussed was baseball analytics and how analytics in baseball could be used for different teams, for different clients, etc.
What a boring place that must be. No, I'm just kidding. I love baseball also. I'm not just a football guy.
Yeah, so in 2015, I got hired here as a full-time employee in the operations department. And sometime in the month of May or June, I was asked by the president at the time if I would be interested in managing a football operation if we decided to expand into football. And I was ecstatic about it. I was essentially just a football fan at the time, not really, didn't know much about the analytics and what that world was like, but I was excited to learn about what the opportunities would be for the company. So at that time in June, we found out that Football Outsiders, who I'm sure all of our listeners are familiar with, wanted to start a partnership with us to chart NFL games specifically. From there, that was in 2015, From there, we started charting just NFL games, offense and defense. We expanded into NCAA data in 2016 and NFL participation data as well in 2016. And from there, we expanded into NCAA participation in 2018. So it's been a long, fun road and definitely something that has been a great time to be a part of.
Yeah, so I was really lucky when I came on in 2016. Dan had already kind of wrapped his head around this. And the great thing, like Dan said, he didn't have the extensive football background. He liked sports. He was a fan of that. The big advantage that Dan had that really separated him from a lot of the other video scouts, besides his great attention to detail, is that Dan had some experience with data, right? You already had some experience using SQL?
Yeah, so I have a master's degree in applied statistics. So at school, we use different programs like SQL, like R, and
Python, whatever, yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah, but and I mean, it's been awesome. So I've been so lucky coming into a spot, having a guy who knows the baseball operation, all the things they do really well, having the analytics background, and then being able to take that and apply all the different things I learned with my time with two NFL teams and be able to kind of build those into our process so that we're charting all the different route combinations that we have and all the different coverages, and we can make sure that all our scouts that are sitting next to each other every day are knowing exactly what they're doing. All right, so moving ahead a little bit, we talked a lot about it. Tell me more about the football video scout position. So what is the video scout position? Who is it for? What does it entail? I know that we just opened up our application last week, so we have applications are coming in right now. We'll have hundreds of people apply without a doubt. With all these applications coming in, what is this job for? It'll be throughout the season from August through end of November, December in the season. But what are these scouts really doing on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so like Matt said, we are now currently accepting applicants, and you can apply through our website. And the football video scout position is a position for individuals who want to work in the football industry. Each football video scout, what they do on a daily basis, they collect NFL and college football data that is directly used by our clients for advanced scouting and evaluation purposes. These football video scouts are guys that are going to be watching more film than anybody else in the industry. They have the opportunity to learn how to break down film correctly, and they really get a hands-on experience of what football analytics are all about.
And not just football analytics, but also actually the process of scouting, the process of how to watch film, how to watch games. And then we run something called Scout School as well with Nate Cooper and John Todd. You can tell the fine people what Scout School entails.
Yeah, so Scout School, taught by you, is the opportunity to learn how to break down the film by looking at different critical factors, looking at different positions, looking at what you want to look for when it comes time to the draft. And each video scout will learn how to write NFL-style scouting reports. And those NFL-style scouting reports then get featured into our book.
After they make it through rounds and rounds of editing and cross-checks and all that other kinds of fun stuff. Yes, that's how we make the Football Rookie Handbook. It all starts with Scout School, which isn't just learning how to watch football, but also learning our grading scale, how to get on the same page, how to actually put pen to paper for this kind of stuff. So that's a lot of fun. It's something that we take a lot of pride in here. And that's that, you know, we're an analytics company, but that's the old school scouting. That's just trait-based scouting, just like they do with every NFL team, whether or not they're analytically inclined or not. All right, Dan. Awesome. I'm happy we got this little tour of the ops department here, the football ops department at Sports Info Solutions. Before you get out of here, I just want to know, what are you most excited about in the future?
There are a couple things I'm excited about. The first thing I'm probably most excited about is now that the NFL is slowly starting to use analytics more, I want to see how NCAA teams are going to use analytics. You know, now that we have our book out, it will give more people the chance to see how NCAA scouting techniques combined with our data, how you could analyze players a little bit better. So I'm excited to see how that gets incorporated in the future. And then the other thing that I'm really looking forward to is seeing how people, the employees within our company, how they could grow within the football industry. We have a lot of great employees here at Sports Info Solutions that I believe will become large roles in teams or wherever they may be.
Like they have in baseball throughout the past. And we're starting to see that in football now already, right?
Absolutely. We've had some guys that have moved on from here and worked for different teams. So I'm very excited to see how those people grow within the football industry.
Awesome. Dan Forenbach, thank you for coming on with us and spending a little bit of your time with us. I'm sure everybody really enjoyed all that. And as we move around the horn, let's bring in our next guest. The next up in the tour around SIS is Corey March. Corey March is our business development analyst. He is an expert in charge of all of our business happenings here, and he is also a fantasy fiend coming from the fantasy slash gambling world before he got here. I don't want to put any specific numbers on this, but let's just say that I've hung out with Corey when more figures than I would ever make available to the casinos had been up in the air. Then I'm not even comfortable saying the amounts on the air. I'm not sure if Corey's wife is aware, so we got to hold off on that one. First off, tell us all a little bit. You're on the business development side of the organization where Dan was on the operations side. What's your role here? What does the business development team do?
First off, Matt, thanks for the intro. Thanks for having me. The business side of SIS, we are a relatively small group, but we handle a lot of high stakes, high leverage clients. We work with almost every Major League Baseball team. We work with a growing number of NFL teams. We work with a number of other various types of clients, from sports broadcasters to sports writers and fantasy clients. And the business department here is really at the core of that. We handle all of those interactions and get all of that in place.
So you're a people person.
I suppose you could say that.
And you're a money person.
I like money.
He likes money. All right. And so on that, you come from the money side, the fantasy side, the gambling side. But a lot of your role here is working with the teams, the NFL teams, the major league teams, as you mentioned. So coming from that different world where you're kind of in the public, in the media, to working with these teams and having, 32 or 30 clients, depending on the sport. What is that like making that transition and kind of what's that like for you on a day to day?
Yeah. So I grew up a huge sports fan. Baseball fan first.
What was your favorite baseball team?
I'm a big Mets fan.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Apology accepted, but necessary. To go back to your question, it's been great. Kind of a dream come true. I've always been really locked in on sports and always thinking about how teams operate. And this position's a great glimpse into that world. Coming from the fantasy side of things, one of the reasons that I really have always liked fantasy is the strategic aspect to it. And playing a lot of daily fantasy kind of feels like you're building a puzzle around the different players, the different prices on players and things like that. So a lot of it's different, but there are some similar aspects to the strategic side of things and giving teams the assets and helping teams use data like the data we're providing to better themselves and answer a lot of questions and strategically make decisions.
Yeah, I was over talking to, we had Kevin Cole on recently, and he was talking a little bit about this, how when there's money on the line, you tend to make better decisions because you have to or else you lose money. And I'm always fascinated by that. And I know he really feels like a lot of times fantasy can teach us a lot about the sport. So I'm curious in that you're playing fantasy games and betting all the time and stuff like that. And yet you're around people like me and Dan here kind of dealing with the reality football, as I call it. So how does that play off each other? Like, how does your fantasy game relate to your understanding of sports, and how does the real sport kind of relate to how you play fantasy? How does all of that work for you?
I think it's pretty ironic, actually, that I feel like I'm not that successful playing baseball DFS or football DFS, at least relative to I am like playing hockey DFS, for instance.
Which is a sport you don't follow as closely.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why I'm more successful in that sport. I think your own biases can get in your own way at certain points, whereas, I know so much about baseball and football that I can overrule some of the indicators and some of the tools that are out there. There are so many great tools nowadays that in a sport like hockey, where I know little or nothing about it, I can just rely on these tools and they help you make decisions a lot more efficiently than your own mind can.
So the more you know, the worse shape you're in.
Yeah.
Just trust it. Interesting. I think, hey, that's what the casinos do. So I think they're probably onto something with how much money they make. One interesting tool that I know you make use of, though, is the SIS Data Hub. Anybody out there who wants to check out a free account, you can sign up at sisdatahub.com. You can sign up and create your own 1 week free trial. And as a bonus, you'll get direct interactions from either Corey or his consigliere, Patrick. And they will set you up with everything that you need to get going on the Data Hub. But with you being on the Data Hub constantly, always pulling all kinds of really interesting stats that, by the way, are being posted on at @sportsinfo_SIS on Twitter all the time, and you should please check us out there. But what are your favorite kind of features on the Data Hub, and what sort of tricks do you like to use to be able to kind of like back out some of the really interesting things that you're pulling out of there?
Yeah, the Data Hub isn't really designed for anyone specific. Like, it's not designed specifically for fantasy people or designed specifically for writers or analysts or anybody. You can really accomplish anything that you want using the Data Hub. Some of the things I like to do is with the upcoming draft, I like to look at the data we have on all these college prospects and certain things that I think are important. Like, for instance, you can go on our Twitter account and you could see a graphic that we posted not long ago based on a few criteria that I thought were important. Who's throwing the ball downfield often and who's doing it accurately? Intuitively, why wouldn't those things be important? Kyler Murray was very good in those metrics. A lot of the other guys didn't match up to him.
Lane Askins way off of what Murray's doing down the field, correct?
Correct. At least if you ask me, you want a guy who's confident in his ability to throw the ball downfield and executes it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And looking at Kyler Murray with like two yards per attempt ahead of any other quarterback in the draft, that's a positive number there for him. All right, Corey, before we get you out of here, I want to ask, just looking ahead, what kind of exciting things does SIS have on the horizon in that fantasy gaming space? What sort of things should the people be looking out for that are more on your side of things in the fantasy?
One thing specifically is a new tool we're coming out with called SIS Bets. And you can use SIS Bets to leverage our projections, which have a lot of intuitive variables. And we're always constantly working to improve our projections. You can leverage our projections to gain insight into what prop bets have value. So, for instance, baseball season's coming up. You can look at who is more likely to get more runs, hits, and RBIs. That's a popular prop bet. You can look at Christian Yelich versus Marcelo Zuna. The SIS Bets tools will pull in our projections. It'll give you a comparison of who the projections like better, compare them to what the Vegas lines are showing, and it'll give you a sense of whether or not there's value on one side or the other.
Yes, and we are rolling this out starting today. Opening day for the baseball season is officially today, and SIS Bets is live, and it is free through the month of April. So for the next month, you can log on to sisbets.com. You can put in any of these prop bets like Corey's talking about. So tell me, I want to know if JD Martinez is going to hit a home run today or not. I'm getting a line on that I'm interested on. I log on to SIS Bets. I find out not just the probabilities, but I can also enter in whatever lines I'm being offered. And SIS Bets will recommend whether I should bet the over, bet the under, or place no bet on this particular line. We've only done some preliminary testing of live games so far. But again, as Corey mentioned, it's built off of our projections model, which we are constantly inputting all sorts of variables in. So it's a great way to kind of beat Vegas. Obviously, with the prop bets, it's not going to be high limit anytime. But you grab on an account, I recommend everybody to try, especially while it's free, sisbets.com. And you can find out which of these you can make. You make your money back real quickly, especially at the free 99 price. All right, Corey, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
All right, and coming in last but not least, well, technically least in terms of our organizational chart, but that means nothing because Bryce has proven anything so far. It's that he is a quick riser, ascending up all the boards here at SIS. Bryce Rossler is our next guest that's coming on. Bryce started as a football video scout less than a year ago here at SIS. He gobbled everything up right away. We were lucky enough to get him by way of the Scouting Academy run by Dan Hatman, the fine program over there. And Bryce walked right in the door already understanding everything there is to know really about trait-based scouting. And he added on top of that this kind of video scout experience and some of this analytics experience. And now Bryce has made it to our research and development team, where he's working on all kinds of new forward-thinking analytics and different ways of approaching problems in football. And we love having a real football brain in the building with all of us math nerds. So, Bryce, what is going on, man?
Not much. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, we really appreciate you being here. So first off, I want to ask you, how did you find SIS? Obviously, you're trying to look into figuring out, you have all this expertise in football, doing the Scouting Academy. Not a lot of people knew about SIS a year ago, let alone today. So where did you find us, and what led you kind of in our direction?
Yeah, so as you alluded to, I am a Scouting Academy alumnus, and that's actually how I found out about SIS. January of last year, they sent out an email blast like they do for so many opportunities, saying that you guys were going to be hiring in a few months or sending out applications in a few months. So I think I emailed you that day and was like, hey, you know, I'm interested in this opportunity. Would you mind letting me know when the applications go out? And you responded and said, yeah. March rolled around. I think it was March 1st. I didn't give you an opportunity to be a man of your word. And I immediately followed up with you. Applications went out a couple weeks later, and the rest is history.
Yes, applications did go up in March, just not on March 1st. But I think we've made it past that. All right, so you came in, you did the application, you went through the whole process here, taking all our tests that you had to come in, and then you showed up for work on August 13th, ready to get trained up on everything that we were going to ask you to do during the season. What's it like being a football video scout, working under the likes of Dan Formback?
It's a lot of fun. You know, it's about as good a gig as you can ask for. You're watching football. I mean, obviously it's not like just sitting on your couch at home and watching it. It's a different animal in terms of charting, but it's a lot of fun. You know, you get to learn a lot about the game.
What goes into the charting? So what are you actually doing when you say charting? What does that mean?
So we've got three different functions we perform. We have what we call an offensive pass, a defensive pass, and a participation pass. And generally you work that way sequentially throughout your work week. The offensive pass, you're collecting play-by-play data. You are collecting route data, formation data, backfield formations, things like broken and missed tackles, protections, blocking schemes.
Anything you can think of happening on a play, pretty much, right?
Exactly. The defensive pass is very similar. You'll record coverages. You'll record number of rushers. You'll record fronts, stuff like that. You'll also record broken and missed tackles like you would on offense, because we have a lot of auditing processes that exist. And then on participation, it's exactly what it sounds like. You will be responsible for charting who is on the field, where they line up, and what they're doing.
So you're charting, you're doing this, you're doing 1,000 hours at least every season, just grinding through the film every day. About how many games do you end up watching in an average week?
In an average week, I would say you can expect to, depending on what time of year it is, if it's early in the year, you're probably going to watch close to 10 games a week. Later in the year, you're probably around 6 or 7, depending on if you want to do extras or not. But it's a lot. You're watching a lot of games. Like you said, you're probably well over 1,000 hours of film every year, but it's a lot of fun.
And every time you do a game, about how long do you spend on each of those? You said about 10 games a week. How much time you spend on each of those games?
I would say that once you get in the swing of things and you kind of learn how the process works and you've got it down, I would say for offensive, defensive passes, depending on length of game, you're looking at 5 to 6 hours, maybe 7 if it's a longer game. And then for participation, 7 to 8 hours, again, depending on length of game.
Yeah, so you're putting in basically full shifts, and then we're having four guys watch each game. So we're having an offensive pass, a defensive pass, and two participation passes before we even get to any of the auditing that goes on with Dan and his senior ops team. So ton of work going on right there, but no better place, I think, to learn what's going on, kind of doing what the quality control coaches are doing for the teams all the time, putting in all this information of what's going into each of these plays. And that's the backbone for what we're doing, not only just providing that data to the teams, but also providing our analytics that we build on top of that. And now you have made the transition over to the research and development side here. What has that been like for you? So that's, like we mentioned, gathering all the data and putting in all these different data points, but over on the research side, we're actually using these and putting together different tools and things like that. What's that transition been like for you?
So there's a couple, it's been interesting. So there's a couple of components of it. One is for me, at least, there was a language barrier, so to speak. I came in here, I didn't have any coding skills. You know, Dan made reference to what's called SQL, which is what we use to query all of our data. So I had to learn that throughout the season. Dan was very helpful in that regard, helping bring me up to speed on that. That's the first part. The second part is that it's a big culture difference over there. You know, here on the operations side, it can get a little hectic in the season. You know, you're trying to meet your deadlines. You know, there's a lot of people talking about what's going on in the games. Over there, it's a lot more quiet, as you know. And whereas on football, you know, Dan does a very good job of organizing everybody, getting everything scheduled, and you know what you're going to be doing. So, you know, I come in today, I know I have the Oklahoma game. I know I have the Arizona game. I got to do those. I got to have them done by midnight. And that's what I'm doing. Over there, it's a lot more open-ended. There's a lot more, it's more exploratory. And there's a lot of, whereas here, you know, it's because data quality is so important, there's not a lot of trial and error or room for trial and error. Here or over there, it's, you know, there's a lot of trial and error. You know, you're trying to, okay, I'm trying to see if this is interesting. Okay, well, I didn't find anything interesting there, you know, and you just go and you go and you go, and then finally you strike gold, and then you work on that. So two totally different modes of work, but both are very rewarding in their own ways.
Yeah, definitely kind of in the spirit of baseball, the research side, it's more, or I guess I should say in the spirit of basketball, shooters got to shoot. I mean, we got to keep throwing stuff at the wall. We got to keep making sure that we're putting together all of our best ideas and pursuing them as hard as we can. And then like Bryce says, oftentimes you don't know what exactly is going to stick. You don't know what SQL is going to say back to you when you put in, you know, a certain line of code and how it's going to come out. And so we're constantly having to reevaluate and make sure that we're moving in the right direction and moving on from one sprint to the next in terms of all of our research to make sure that we're creating different stats like total points, which Alex Vigderman's done work on. And I know you've been working with him on trying to improve the total points formula this offseason. All of our win probability stuff that the guys are working on right now, our college football projections, which we're working on right now. And I know Corey's anxiously awaiting to see those. All of that kind of stuff, we've got to constantly be moving forward with all of it. So it's not, hey, we have to have this done by the end of the day. It's, hey, we got to figure out how we're going to make people think about sports differently by the end of the quarter. Talking, you know, quarter of the year, not quarter of the football game. It can be confusing going back and forth from one side to the other. Okay, cool. So you talked about it a little bit. What are the future or potential developments that you're most excited about? What are the things that you're working on right now? I mentioned you guys are doing some improvements to total points. What are some of those things?
So the improvement to total points that we're currently working on, and we'll soon be sending out a newsletter to our clients about this, but we have made some advancements on the way we understand receiver play within the total points model, specifically as it pertains to contextual factors like alignment, routes, coverages, so on and so forth. So we're excited to get those implemented.
And let's talk about it. So that stat that you're talking about, we call it targets above expectation. What does targets above expectation mean?
Because we have all this play-by-play data, because we get so granular, like we talked about earlier, we can see a lot of what goes on a play. So we have these factors, and what we can do in SQL is we can essentially create these groupings. And in these groupings, you know, it'll say this specific instance, a guy ran a slant against, and these numbers are made up, but a guy ran a slant against cover one on third and long.
And he was lined up in the slot.
And he was lined up in the slot 100 times over the course of the year.
So how does the average receiver perform in that situation?
Exactly. And so you say, okay, 25 times that guy ended up being targeted. So that creates an expected target rate. And what you do is you get all these guys' routes and everything they do over the course of the season, and you debit and credit them based on whether or not they were actually targeted. And then you weight it on a 100-route basis, and it's ultimately expressed as targets above expectation per 100 routes.
So it's not exactly how many targets you get. It's given the situation that you were put in, given your alignment, the route you ran, and the coverage, and a few other contextual factors, we can find out how much above or below average you earned targets. So it's a measure of separation to some extent. Is that right?
Correct.
Awesome. Super duper interesting stuff there. I'm fascinated to see how that one comes out. I know our newsletter last month, we explored pass interference penalties, and specifically we were exploring, you know, how high leverage pass interference was, offensive pass interference as well. And sure enough, to kind of explore and to point out to the teams that maybe there are some really good analytical reasons why we should consider making these plays reviewable, or maybe changing the penalty down to 15 yards for pass interference like it is on other levels of football. We presented this information to the teams, and sure enough, we found out earlier this week at the owners' meetings that they approved a rule change. So no, I don't think this is because of anything that we wrote, but to give an idea to the people of what we're doing with these newsletters, what we're keeping in touch, it's not just, hey, we developed a new metric. It's not just, hey, your win probability can be improved in this situation if you do X, Y, and Z. Sometimes we're just looking at generally the health of the game. So player safety is something we're sometimes studying. And in this case, we were studying penalties and potential rule changes. And sure enough, they decided to enact the change that really fit in well. You guys can all check that out on sportsinfosolutionsblog.com right now. We posted that out. So if you go on at sportsinfo_SIS on Twitter, you can find it through there too. Nate Weller wrote that last newsletter, and we decided to release it out to the public now that this rule change has been made. So you can check that out if you want to get a little bit better of an idea of what we're doing kind of on the research side here in terms of some of these different advancements. All right. Finally, I want to ask you, Bryce, just because you're one of the most interesting people in the building here. You know, you joked around before about how you went from you went over to the kind of the quiet side of things here at SAS, being with the researchers. And I think we would have a unanimous vote if we said who was the least quiet person in the office around here, because you like to get into it with people, whether it's here or whether it's on Twitter as well. And we're no stranger to that. But I want to ask you have this scouting background. You've been able to build up this really great football knowledge that I think, you know, is on par with a lot of people around what's going on, what we see in the league right now with these teams that I've worked for. You're right there with those guys in terms of that. And now you've added this really interesting part to your repertoire, sort of being able to take in these analytics, learning the SQL like Dan learned back when he was in college, being able to take that in here, really making you, you know, a special type of Swiss Army knife. So I'm wondering, with that scouting background and now analytics being built into your toolbox, besides being around here and hopefully we'll keep you in these doors, you know, as long as possible, building up all the different things that we're trying to do at SIS, but what are your goals? Where do you see this going in football for you?
Well, I'll start this by saying I'm not in any rush to leave here. This is a great place to work. I really enjoy it here, so I'm not in any hurry to get a move on. I think this is a really great place for growth. One of the things that Dan Hatman, the director of the Scouting Academy, always pressed upon me was that the more you learn, the more you know that you don't know anything. So for the time being right now, it's just about continuing to grow. It would be great to see to end up in a role with a team on a personnel side, or maybe as a quality control guy sometime down the road. But you know, for now, like I said, I'm not in any rush to go anywhere. I think that's ultimately what the goal is. But right now, it's just about continuing to grow and continuing to learn.
That's awesome stuff. Yeah. And I think, you know, that my take on that would be keep doing all the stuff that you're doing, because the things that you're accomplishing right now, you're making it so that when that opportunity does come your direction, you're ready for it. There are a lot of people that get that opportunity and don't know what to do with it. There are people that are ready that never get that opportunity. And I think as you know, being in here, you're doing everything you can to do the right things to move that in the right direction, kind of getting that career started. So we've been pumped and lucky to have you, and I wish you all the best. And as soon as a team is smart enough to snatch you off of our hands, I'll miss you. I'll miss you dearly, but I'll be excited to know that you've been trained up well and you know what you're doing when you get out there. Thank you so much for coming on, Bryce.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate you.
All right. And that is our tour around Sports Info Solutions, starting off with Dan Foran back in the operations department. And I want to take this opportunity to remind everybody, if you're looking to start your career in football, if you're looking to kind of break into the scouting, coaching, analytics, whatever it may be around football, apply for that football video scout position. You can log on to sportsinfosolutions.com and you can find the link to apply there. And as I mentioned, Dan will be in touch with you about next steps on all that application as that comes through. After we talked to Dan, we talked to Corey March. Corey March, our fantasy expert, told everybody about SISBets.com. Everybody, I hope you check that out today. It is launching. It is free through the end of April. You can find all the different prop bet lines to make you sharper than anybody else out there and make some easy money. So be sure to check that out. And of course, always check out the great stuff that Corey is tweeting on at sportsinfo_SIS on our Twitter there. He and Mark Simon are always putting out lots of interesting information, and they are using the Data Hub to gather this stuff check out SISDataHub.com. That is a little bit more of our fancy tool than just SIS bets, but SISDataHub.com has all of the in-depth football information. This is the same technology that we share with our team clients, that we share with our media clients. As big as they come to the smallest fish, you can get a taste of the SIS Data Hub, and you can slice and dice splits on splits on splits for any sort of sports info solution stats that we gather. Finally, we had Bryce Rossler, our football video scout, who made it over to the R&D side for the last part of today. I thought it was really interesting hearing what Bryce had to say about kind of his role coming up on the scouting side and doing some stuff on the analytics end right now. You can check out Bryce on Twitter at BTRossler. That's BTRossler. And of course, I'm always there on Twitter at Matt Mano, where you can find me. We will be back next week with Aaron, back from vacation. We hope you guys have enjoyed hearing a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes here at SIS. And we will be back with more free agency and draft coverage as usual next week. Thank you, Justin.